I want to speak to you tonight on the topic of deception. The title of my message is Be Not Deceived. It's a subject that the Lord put on my heart maybe like 2 years ago. We had a few weeks where we talked as young adults together, and I just have felt led in light of where we are as a society, like Lewis was saying, that the city that we live in that is dark and only getting darker, to just kind of revisit some of these truths that the Lord put on my heart a few years back, and then has again just been speaking to me again recently. If I had to give this message a subtitle, it would be to reject lies. To reject lies. We're living in a time where lies and falsehoods are abounding, and the Lord would want us to embrace truth, which is really Jesus. Amen. Truth is not a concept. It's not a theory. It's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, amen, and the life. If I had to give this title an alternate title, it would be live wisely. Live wisely in a very dark world. We're called to live wisely. It's part of our memory verse, for those of you who recited it earlier from Colossians. I think it's chapter 3. So like I said, like most of you, you know, I've been very grieved and I've been very saddened by the current state of our society, especially with the things that have recently unfolded over the summer. We're living in a time where good is now called evil and evil is now called good. We're even more heartbreaking, I think, because the world is the world. But it's the things that we see even in those that profess to be Christians, you know, the professing body of Christ. There's lots of false doctrines that are sweeping through, that are sweeping people up and captivating people. We're living in a day and age where truth is ferociously being attacked and just trampled on from without. It's being trampled on from within. And while it's extremely painful to watch, it's been very hard. I'm not one to really watch the news too often, but from time to time, just to sort of stay aware with current events, it's been extremely painful to watch the news. At the same time, while it's been painful, it's not really surprising for those of us who've walked with the Lord, who read the Word, because the Bible says that it would be exactly like this in the last days, right? For those of you, can I get an amen, right? The Word says that. So it's hard, but it's not surprising. In Matthew chapter 24, which are in some Bibles, literally the red letters of Jesus, the disciples came to Jesus asking him to tell them what signs they should look for to mark his return. And the first sign that Jesus told them to watch for, stated as a warning, is found in verse 4. And it says, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Take heed that no one deceives you. The New Living Translation says, don't let anyone mislead you. And, you know, I'm so grateful tonight for the promises of God. You know, we're people, as we should. We should hold on to all of the promises. The Bible is filled with hundreds of promises of God. And we love the promises. We love God's blessings. But I'm learning, the older that I get in the Lord, I'm grateful for God's warnings. Amen? I said, I'm grateful for God's warnings because God warns us because he is a loving father. We sang about that tonight in some of the songs. He's a father that loves. And so as a father that loves us, he's seeking to protect us from danger and harm. Does that make sense as his children? Jesus went on to say that many people will rise up in the end times and they'll claim to represent him. In other words, not everything that looks like Jesus in 2015 is. And I think that that is pretty obvious to most of us. The Apostle Paul went on to say in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And I think of even Lauren, some of the things that she hit on in her poem, things that people gravitate to that they think are light, you know, drugs and all of these things to sort of medicate, and they think it's going to ease the pain. But it's really darkness masquerading as light to give you relief, but it only puts you in more bondage. Amen? More bondage and guilt and shame, etc. So he masquerades as an angel of light. And again, sadly, we're living in a day where people have free access to the real light, which is the Word of God. We live in a country where we can get the Bible in just about any translation, online, audio, you name it, where we have access to it. But people flat out don't really want truth. That's just the reality of where we are. People don't want truth. People are very biblically illiterate, and even more tragic, I think, is in the house of God. We neglect the Word. Not to put anybody, obviously, guys, under any condemnation, but this is the truth of where we are. We don't really read the word, and because we don't, the unsaved and the saved, where I'm watching, even people in my own sort of sphere of community, they're being swayed and they're being misled and they're being lured off track. And that just should not be. That just should not be. And coupled with all the voices, the myriad of voices from the media and just everywhere you go, there's just deception, deception, deception. Amen? It's just abounding everywhere. But it is exactly like Jesus warned us. The word is true. The word of God is true. It's coming to pass exactly like he said. But I want to say thank God, though, because the Spirit of the Lord is still with us. And that's the good news. Amen? The world is going to be the world. The enemy is going to be the enemy. But the Spirit of the Lord is still with us, and he's still raising up a standard against the lies, and he's leading and guiding all genuine seekers of God into truth. Amen? That's the good news. Come on. That's good news. Amen? The Holy Spirit is still with us, still seeking to speak to us. So tonight I want to take a look at a few examples of deception from the word. I want to take a look, if we've got the time, from a story of deception from the world and then present day in the body of Christ. So let's start with the word. Let's start with 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles 17. We're going to look at verse 3. And this is the story of a king named Jehoshaphat. It says, "The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the images of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel." And so we see here, we've got this godly king. His father was Asa, one of the most godly kings in the history of Judah. But after a while, Jehoshaphat started making some really bad choices. So much so, it nearly cost him his life. And the first point that I want to make is this. It's great, guys, to have a great history with the Lord. But we can never rest in our past history with God. We can't rest in our past victories. We can't rest in our strong beginning. We can't rest on our early days or our early years of being on fire, of wholehearted devotion and service to him. Some of you are blessed with very godly parents, but you can't rest on your parents' faith. You can't ride their spiritual coattails. Amen? You've heard Pastor Patrick say this phrase often: now faith is. Now faith is. Today faith is. And so we need an active faith. We need a living faith. Amen? We need to be seeking God daily. I said we need to be seeking God daily. Amen? We need grace for today. We need strength for today to keep building our faith so that we would stay on course, not get derailed, not get lured off track, and keep on the right track. Amen? So let's keep reading a little bit more about this man's life. So let's look at 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And let's read verse 1. So we see this man, he has a good start. He's got a good heritage. He's got a good start. Again, now we're going to start to see him make some not good choices and some things that God wants us to learn. So Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. And one of the points that I feel like God spoke to me was, because I was wondering as I was reading this, just this, even this one verse, why would a godly man who undoubtedly was raising his daughter in the things of God, right? Presumably that's safe to assume. Why would he then give his godly child? Again, she had to make a decision for Christ herself. But this is a godly father, undoubtedly trying to raise his daughter in the things of God. Why would he give her to the son of a man who was completely opposed to the things of God? Ahab was one of the most wicked kings in all of Israel. For those of you who don't know the little background, he was married to a woman named Jezebel, who most of you are familiar with. Very, very wicked, completely opposed to all things God. And so the question came to my mind, like, why? Why would this godly man, why would he form an allegiance with such an ungodly man? And this is the answer I believe that God spoke to my heart, that the time that we need to be especially careful and watchful and prayerful is during seasons of success, seasons of great blessings. When things are going great on every front and you just see the hand of God, just everywhere you look, you just see God's blessing you in the left. He's blessing you in the right. He's blessing you in the front. He's blessing you behind. Those are the times that we really need to watch. We're very vulnerable. We kind of let our spiritual guard down. Does that make sense? And I think of David. This is how King David, again, for those of you who know some of the Bible, King David fell in adultery at a time when he was peaking in his leadership. He had, you know, become king somewhere around 30. And the Bible says when he was somewhere around 50, so about 20 years of victory and success, nothing but the favor of God, nothing but the hand of God, nothing but the blessings of God. He doesn't go out to war. He begins to let his guard down. He begins to somewhat spiritually coast, if you will. And then he finds himself on the rooftop looking at a woman. And subsequently, again, most of you know the story, he finds himself falling into sin. So we have to be very, very careful about not letting our guard down, because we could be ripe for a fall. I also want to just sort of take a side moment to say, you know, just this past week, we wrapped up a story, a Bible series on the Song of Solomon. And one of the topics, the last topic that we hit on was lust versus love. And so just even as I was kind of thinking about this relationship that's unequally yoked, I feel just led to just say, because again, we talked about this privately with the CCG and the young adults, but we're living in a time where there's so many deceptive voices about sexuality and sexual immorality. And the Lord would just want me to just gently remind you all, there's things in the Bible, and we had this conversation earlier in the year, when we talked about gray areas where there's not a clear command to do or not to do, like alcohol, for instance. But in the area, young people, of sexual immorality, the word is very clear. It's not murky. It's not gray. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-4 says, this is the will of God. Not that it's a suggestion. This is the will. It's very clear that we would abstain from every form. Say every form. Not some forms, not a few forms. Every form of sexual immorality. Does that make sense? We're going to keep talking about this topic a little further, but I just felt led to kind of put that out there. At the end of the day, guys, true love is able to wait. Amen? Lust never is able to wait, but true love can always wait. And you're all worth the wait. Amen? Let's keep reading. So we see Jehoshaphat with his guard down. We see, and let's read what happens next. A few years later, he went to Samaria to visit Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. They butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, and cattle for the feast. Then Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth-Gilead. And I want to talk to you for just a moment about this word entice. It means to attract or tempt by offering pleasure or advantage. Other words, it's a synonym also, actually, for the word deceive. Other synonyms mean tempt, to lure, allure, attract, and appeal. Think about it this way. This is an illustration that I feel like the Lord gave me. It's like setting a trap for an animal. A person will use bait, something that appeals to the animal to catch it. For example, if you've got a pesky mouse, one of the things that you might use to catch it is peanut butter. Mice are attracted generally to peanut butter. And so we see here Jehoshaphat with his spiritual guard down. He mates an allegiance with this wicked man, first through marriage. Now he's at his house, he's feasting, and he is enticed, it says, with the food that Ahab gave him. And so I do just want to kind of remind you in this point that another area where we have to be very careful, and if we're not careful, we open ourselves up to being deceived, is when we want our flesh to be appeased. When we want our flesh to be appeased, the things that we just desire, the things that we crave, when we want those things to be appeased, we have to be very, very careful, because we're opening ourselves up to being deceived. Now, in Ahab's case, he used food for Jehoshaphat. And so for a mouse, again, it's peanut butter. And so for you and for me, it's different. It's different. It's different. But the enemy is, he's crafty, and he absorbs us, and he watches our weaknesses and our frailties and those things that we don't surrender over to the Lord. He's looking to attack. And it's, he'll set a trap that's custom made just for you. I heard a yup. Amen? People, how many know what I'm talking about tonight, right? Okay. Custom made just for you. And so let's keep reading to see what happens. So he makes this covenant with this ungodly man through marriage. Now he further aligns himself by agreeing to take on this man's enemies and enter into his battle. And after he agrees to it, he adds this. But let's first find out what the Lord says. So he agrees to go to war with this guy, this ungodly guy. And then he says, oh, but let's find out what God has to say. And guys, the time to pray is not after you make a big decision. The time to pray is before. Amen? The time to pray is before. And so I feel like the Lord just wanted me to remind you all, it's crucial that we talk to God about every area of our lives and that we make no moves. I said we make no moves. Amen? Until we've heard clearly from him. Time is very precious and it's going so fast. Can you believe that we're almost 10 months already into 2015? It's going so fast, guys. So guys, we don't want to waste time unnecessarily. Amen? The Lord is a God that redeems. Absolutely. I stand here as a living testimony of how he's redeemed years that I lost to sin. Amen? But we don't want to waste time unnecessarily. Does that make sense? And so the time to pray is before you make a decision, major decisions especially. Seek God. I think the one thing that, even as I was talking about a major area of failure for David, one of the things that so blessed me always about David, even though God naturally gifted him as with a great ability to fight, he was a very skilled warrior, he always took the time before he went out to battle. He never presumed, he never rested on his natural ability to fight. He always, the Bible says this, and before he went to battle, David inquired of the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? You familiar with that? David inquired of the Lord, Lord, should I go to this battle? And he would wait for God's answer. Yes, go. Yes, go, but not now. No, don't go. And so he didn't rush ahead. He didn't presume anything. He always inquired of God. Does that make sense? And that's what the Lord wants me to remind you of tonight. And I thought about from my own life, a time when I made the right choice to seek God before, and then when I failed to talk to God in the area, for me, this was at work. And so one day I got this call from one of the directors when I was in the publishing industry, and I was only 2 years saved, very new in Christ, and not in ministry, and I got called into this director's office about this very big job, high paying, you name it, like it was, you know, the corporate car, the corporate credit card, the title. Basically, I just was sitting there thinking like, wow, you know, like I finally made it. This is what I've lived for. I've lived my whole life for this moment, this big job. And I listened, you know, to the director, and I was feeling obviously very intimidated. I'd only been at the company like less than 2 years, very overwhelmed that I was even being considered for such a job. And I left out and I said to the director, well, I just need some time to consider all of this. It's really a lot. And he said, well, okay, you can have basically 24 hours. And so I was walking back to my desk and I'm thinking like about the salary and just, I gotta tell you, I was completely in the flesh. And I'm walking back and I'm like, I'm in the money, you know, and I'm thinking about what I'm gonna buy and how I'm gonna help my parents. You know, there was a little redeeming quality in it, helping my family. But I'm thinking about all that I'm gonna buy. And again, like, wow, I finally made it. And one thing that the director said that I heard, but I kind of like sort of put on the back burner was that eventually the job was gonna cause me to have to go to Chicago. And so then all of a sudden, I'm walking back to my desk, and all of a sudden, after, the Lord let me have that little carnal moment of all the dresses I'm thinking about and all the stuff I'm going to buy, it was like, Chicago? What on earth am I going to do in Chicago? Like, my family is here, my church is here. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, well, God, is this even you? Is this even you? And I started praying. I called my sister, who stands with me, prayer, especially on very big things. She started praying for me. And I pretty much sensed that it was not God. You know, I wanted to make sure because I have a tendency to always sort of see myself as a grasshopper. I struggle with fear. I struggle with insecurity a lot. So I just kind of, I wanted to really make sure that it wasn't just me and my flesh being afraid to go up, to take a bigger job. But deep in my spirit, I knew that it wasn't. And so 24 hours passed and I still just wanted to get that, like, I know that I know that I know feeling, you know what I mean? When you just wanted to know and you're knower. And I asked the guy, can I just take one more day to pray? And I took one more day to pray. And right before I had to go into his office, I was still kind of like, you know, battling a little bit, a little unsure. And I was just like, God, like, I don't mean to be like Gideon, but can you just kind of give me like a last minute confirmation that this is not you? And the phone rang and it was a coworker who happened to have overheard this director talking with the manager and basically saying like, if I took the job, I was just going to have to sink or swim. They were not going to train me. They were not going to really help me. I was just going to have to figure it out. And it would have been suicide for a job. And God spared me. Amen. Gave me the grace to pray, though. But fast forwarding, maybe, I don't know, within 6-7 years later, I was at my company a long time, 16 years. I get a call one day from my boss, a new boss, and she's frantic. She's very emotional. She's like, Lisa, it's not working out for one of the sales managers, and I need you to take this job. I just need you to do it. I need you to do it. And she and I were very close, and she's my boss, and so I'm thinking, like, okay, I should submit to authority. This is what she needs me to do. And so I said, well, you know, I'll take the job on these conditions. I don't sell any books that compromise my faith, and I don't do corporate politics. So if you can tell me you'll give me those two things, yes, I'm the woman for the job. And so she was like, absolutely, and if there's anything else that you need, just let me know. And I hung up the phone, and I'm like, yes, I took a stand for God, and I'm not going to compromise. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, but you didn't talk to me first. You said yes, but you didn't talk to me first. And it was like, Lord, but God, she's my boss. And I would just think you would want me to. And he was like, no. You didn't talk to me first. I told you, you make no moves in this company without talking to me. So now I'm like, well, I gave my word and I'm going to look like a worm to go back. And how do I tell her that I overstepped and I said yes and it was really no. And I started praying, and a few days passed, I think a week passed, and she said to me, I didn't kind of even want to bring it up because I'm just like, gosh, how did I get myself in this pickle? And finally, I just said to her, so any news like on this job, you know? And she said, well, I got to wait for the president to approve it. And so I said, okay. And so a few days passed, and then she called me and she said, I said, have you gotten any news yet from the president? And she said, yeah, I spoke to the president and the president said, you're to stay right where you are. How many of you know that was God? Even through the unsaved, he has a way, amen, of saving our necks. So amen, right? He's so faithful. He's so, so faithful to help us, amen, in every situation we find ourselves in. He's just faithful to help us. And so, guys, I just want to tell you that there's so many voices out there, and they speak in a myriad of ways, you know what I mean, with well intentions. This is, again, my boss, and I'm naturally thinking I should submit to authority, but we don't make decisions. We don't make rash decisions just based off emotion or just the closeness of the association. We seek God first, amen? For everything, because the voices that are so seeking to drown out the voice of God, they want us to always make decisions that appease our carnal nature, that are for our own glory in most instances. And guys, when we've got unsurrendered desires and dreams and plans for our own lives, these things can deceive us. Are you listening to me? I said these things can deceive us in missing out on the best plans that God has for us. So we've got to take all things to God in prayer. We've got to be so, so careful. I want to say to you tonight that because Jehoshaphat was in mixture and in compromise, it weakened his discernment. Mixture and compromise always weakens our discernment. And by discernment, I mean the need to see all things from God's perspective. I said we need to see all things from God's perspective, not the wisdom of this world. Not the wisdom of this world that's passing away. It's foolishness. That's what the Bible says of the wisdom of this world. We need to see all things, all people, all situations. How does God see this? I need heaven's clarity. Amen? And he's here to give it to us tonight. I want to say to you tonight, guys, that it's important, not in our own strength because we can't, but we've got to put away the mixture. Are you listening to me tonight? It's time to put away the mixture. It's time to put away the compromise by the power of the Holy Spirit. These things that are weakening us, these things that are lulling us to sleep and causing us to be confused and gray and muddy, it's time to put those things away. God wants to give us discernment like we've never known. How many of you know we need it like never before? Amen. In the times that we're living in, we need discernment. We need to see clearly, guys, like never before. But it's not going to happen with the endless hours on social media. There's a place for that, guys, but it's not going to happen spending hours tweeting and Facebooking and Insta, looking at pictures. It's not going to happen that way. You're not going to get the discernment from God that way. It's going to be found in his presence. It's going to be found in his word. It's going to be found praying, just talking to God. Very simply, guys, just talk to God. There's a set time to pray for, to pray and seek God's face in a prayer closet. You know, maybe that's a bedroom or wherever that might be. But guys, I'm finding more and more. I've lived for the Lord 19 years. I'm telling you, it's to the point now. I talk to God everywhere that I go. On the subway, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm walking to my job, I'm talking to the Lord. I'm sitting at my desk and I'm talking to God. I'm walking to the copier and I'm talking to God because I need the mind of Christ like never before. Amen. I'm like never before. So much, the forces of darkness in the city always encroaching, amen? I need to constantly talk to God. David said, because I know the Lord is always before me, I shall not be moved. It's possible. You can talk to him. And not us talking to him, he talks to us back. Wants to give us direction and clarity, amen, for our futures. And in his presence, we humble ourselves. And we surrender all of this stuff. God only has the best in store for us tonight, young people. The best in store. And it's in his presence. He gives us the grace to surrender the things that we want, the things that we think that we need. And we just simply ask him for his perfect will. Amen? And then the cobwebs and the questions and the dangling participles, all of those things start to get settled as you seek him in his presence. Always there's clarity. Amen? So let me tell you the rest of the story with Ahab for the sake of time. They send for this prophet and they ask, Ahab wants to go to war, and Ahab and Jehoshaphat say, okay, well, before we go to war, let's get some counsel. And so they send for these counselors. 400 come and say, oh yeah, go, please, you got it. You are so good. You go to war, absolutely go. You got the victory. And Jehoshaphat, and see, this is the beauty of God. Even though he's in mixture, and even though he's in compromise, he's not so far gone that he doesn't still realize that that's a lie. That's not true. Something about that does not quite sound right. And so then he says, well, isn't there somebody else that speaks for God? Isn't there somebody else that really speaks for God? Has enough discernment to realize that all of these, yeah, you can do it. Yep. Oh, absolutely. Go do your thing. You're so good. Realizes that, that sounds false. And so he sends for Micaiah, who's a godly prophet. And Micaiah says to Ahab, you go to this battle and you're going to die. Because you're sad to say, you're so full of pride, you won't humble yourself. God loves you just as wanted to just have a relationship with you. You just rejected God, exalted yourself up to be God, you and your wife. You're going to die in this battle. And you would think that Jehoshaphat would say, oh, God, what am I doing? Let me get out. This guy's going to go to battle. He's going to die. What am I doing rolling with this guy? But he goes anyway. He goes anyway. In spite of hearing a clear word from God, he goes anyway. And let's see what happens. So King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah led their armies against Ramoth-Gilead. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, as we go into battle, I will disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robe. So this is supposed to be his boy, right? Now he's in a covenant with this man. He's in an allegiance with this man, fighting this man's fight. That's not even his own fight. now, and God's made it clear that I'm not a part of this, but he goes anyway. And you've got this, now Jehoshaphat, God has this guy saying, well, I'm going to hide myself. I'm going to like not put myself all out there, but you put on your royal robe so you could be spotted. Isn't that amazing? But that's how people are, right? Hyping you all up. Oh, me and you, it's like this. It's like peace. We're like this, right? But when the rubber meets the road, whose neck is on the line? Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat's the one that knows the truth. Let's keep reading. So as we go into battle, I will disguise myself so no one will recognize me, but you wear your royal robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself and they went to battle. Meanwhile, the king of Aram had issued these orders to his chariot commanders: attack only the king of Israel. Don't bother with anyone else. So when the Armenian chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat in his royal robes, they went after him. There is the king of Israel, they shouted. But Jehoshaphat called out and the Lord saved him. That's worth reading again. But Jehoshaphat called out and the Lord saved him. God helped him by turning the attackers away from him. So he puts himself again in with the wrong man, in the wrong fight, in the wrong battle, and it nearly puts his life on the line. But God, I said, but God, amen. Merciful in our mistakes, multiple mistakes. Not a God of a second chance. He's a God of another chance. Because it shouldn't even have to come to that, though. That's the warning. Like, that's God in his preemptive love doesn't even want us to go there. He wants us to stop. When he heard this guy's going to get killed, put the brakes on right there. Amen? Does that make sense? I want to show you now an example from the world that really, really broke my heart. And, you know, guys, I know we hear all the time, like, this is the last days, these are the last days, and we can kind of become a little desensitized to it. But just this past week, as I was thinking about Jesus' words, of course, and letting no one deceive us, and then I thought about Paul saying in 2 Timothy 3, know that in the last days, difficult times. And when you really break that word apart in the Greek, it's not difficult, it's kind of a light expression. It means, know this, guys, harsh times, fierce times, savage times. Savage, that's a very, very strong word, but that's the world that we're living in now. And people that we associate with sometimes can put us in situations, literally, where our life is on the line, like we see Jehoshaphat. See, that's the beauty of the word of God. People think it's so antiquated, so real to where we are today. You run in with the wrong person, and you're in the wrong place, and you find yourself with your neck on the line. Is that true today to this generation? So let's take a look at this real life story. Can we put up Skylar Neese? I came across this story 2 years ago. This is Skylar Earl Neese, 16 years old. Let's keep going. These are her two best friends, I say in quotations. The girl, the dark hair girl in the middle, was her friend since 8 years old. Sheila Eddy is on the left, the redhead. Sheila, I'm sorry, it's the brunette, and Rachel is in the middle, the redhead. Somewhere, hold it just there for a moment. Somewhere around 2012 now, Skylar and Sheila had been friends since 8 years old. And Skylar's parents said that Sheila was like a second daughter to them. This is how close these girls were. Somewhere around 2012, they had a falling out over something, I don't even know. Very, very petty, though. You know, I hate to say it, but teenage girls, you get into a lot of sort of just carnal arguments and disagreements. And Sheila and Rachel, they call her up to, quote unquote, make amends. And they suggest, why don't we go out and you leave your house and let's joyride and then we'll stop in our favorite place and let's just stop and smoke weed. So against Skylar's better judgment, I read that she first said no, because she had already been in trouble. So no, that's I'm not going to do that. That's not wise, right? Running out of your house at midnight, hanging out for a joyride, going to smoke weed, not wise, amen? But because of the insistent calls, constant all the bombardment from the media, a form of it, and texting, it wore her down. It enticed her. And so she left her house 12:30 in the morning and she went with these two girls. and they smoked. They went around joyriding, and then they stopped and they got high on weed. And then the two girls killed her, her quote unquote best friends. And so bad was this deception. Can we go back to that missing poster? The girl, the best friend, went around with Skylar's parents, putting up a missing pictures. This is how deep seated. This is how savage we are now as a generation. Knowing all along that she killed her, she's going around with her parents, pretending like the girl is missing, putting up these missing pictures of her. And finally, though, one of the girls breaks down months later, and she confesses. And she tells the whole thing, and then they sadly have to go and retrieve the body, they ID the girl. And when Skylar's body was brought back, obviously to everybody's devastation, this is what the quote-unquote best friend said on Twitter. She posted up a collage of her and Skylar. Worst day of my life. Can we go back? Worst day of my life. Rest easy, Skylar. You'll always be my best friend. I miss you more than you could ever know. Lies. Deception. This is deception. This story literally took my breath away. And are there any high school kids here? Anybody in high school here or junior high? Because it's at this age especially where you're so bent on the identity and of your friends and the affirmation of peers. And guys, I'm not here to be anybody's police. But I have to say to you, for the love of God, please be careful on social media. All of this bearing of your soul and all of this giving all this information and all these hours of conversation. People live today to put up an image of themselves that is not even true half the time. Not even true. Just like you heard Lauren say about her family, they were living an image that wasn't even true. And the Lord needs us to be careful. You need to be careful. You need to choose your friends wisely, young people. Are you listening to me tonight? This is a very extreme story, I know. Very extreme. By God's grace, none of you are really rolling with people with this kind of level of darkness. But the question, the spiritual question that I feel like the Lord had me put on my heart to ask you all tonight is, are there things in your life, are there people that you're associating with, people that you consider to be friends and maybe are friends or, I don't know, associates, but that are eating away the spiritual life of Christ in you? Are there things that you're engaged in, guys? It's just a question that's between you and the Lord tonight that are eating away the spiritual life of Christ. Are there things like that tonight in your life? People that you don't need to associate with. Things that you need to cut off. That are threatening that life of Christ. Guys, it's all about the seed of Christ. It's all about derailing. It's all about not seeing you walk in the fullness that God has for you. All of you have a purpose. God has a wonderful plan for each of your life. And the enemy only wants to see you derailed. With people that you should not be involved with, in places that you should not be going, and things that you should not be saying. I thought about Samson with this amazing call in his life from a baby and became so blind to the lust that was in him. The Bible says that he laid on Delilah's lap. She was an enemy of his, and he thought he was in love. And she rocked him to sleep because he was already blinded spiritually. And it was all about the anointing, all about the plan of God on his life. And it's no different today. No different. The enemy is only after seeing you walk in the fullness of everything that Jesus died to give you. But the Lord is here tonight to say enough is enough. If this applies to you, enough is enough. He's here to touch eyes. He's here to open up ears. He's here to bring the conviction where conviction is needed. Amen. Because he loves you this much, guys. And he wants to see you end well, not get derailed, not get sideswiped over carnal stuff. Guys, associate with people today. Are you listening to me? Jesus loved the whole world. You love all people. You be kind to all people. You be respectful to all people. But when the rubber met the road, when it was time for intimacy, when it was time for fellowship, he wasn't fellowshipping with 5,000 friends. quote unquote friends, intimate. Peter, James, and John, people that wanted to go deeper, people that wanted to go higher, people that wanted to talk about the things of God. I'm not talking about walking around quoting scriptures 24/7. There's a time for jokes and being loose. There's a time for all of that. But guys, it's a time to be sober-minded. Amen? Time to be focused on the things of God. That's what time it is tonight. Choose your friends and associates wisely. From God's perspective. I'm not talking about looking at everybody with a suspicious eye, guys. Don't take anything that I'm saying tonight out of context. Don't start looking at people sideways and all kind of like, oh, what's up with her? What's up with you? What's up? Don't take anything that I'm saying out of context. But it is time to be prayerful. Amen? And to just take a spiritual inventory. The things that you're engaging in, the people that you're running with, the people that you're rolling with, the people that you want to be romantically involved with, is it of God? Can I just leave that question with you? Are you willing to just ask the Lord, Lord, is this of you? And if it's not, he'll give you the grace to lay it down because he's got something better. And with this, I close. Can the musicians come? I want to tell you about a story that I just read, true story. And it's about a girl that got derailed, but in the end, she was beautifully redeemed and restored by Jesus. I read a book 2 weeks ago called Girl in the Song, and it's a very compelling biography, and it's written by Chrissy Cimbala Toledo. She's the daughter of Pastor Jim and Carol Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle. She was dedicated to the Lord by Pastor Ben Crandall and had a sensitivity to the Lord as a small child. So much so, she prayed with her mom to receive Jesus into her heart at the age of 4. She was raised in a very loving, nurturing home with great godly parents that supported and encouraged her in every way, especially in her giftings for music. But when she was 11, the enemy began to sow lies in her mind through a TV show about not measuring up, not being good enough. And rather than expose the lies to her parents, who she had a total liberty to talk openly to, she hid her mental and emotional struggles, and they only got worse. She began striving to be perfect, particularly with her physical appearance, and she began craving attention from people, especially boys. She started hanging out with older kids that were into the things of this world and then got into worldly music. Soon, she began to believe that she needed to become a provocative girl like the girls sung about in those songs. Several years later, she noticed a very good-looking young adult at her church. And even though she was a minor and it wasn't even legal for him to date her, she aggressively started to pursue him and soon found herself in an obsessive relationship. She began lying to her parents, cutting church, failing school, and even stealing from her parents in order to be with him. Eventually, she lost her purity. And once that happened, she became even more obsessed with him. So much so, she went to even greater lengths to be with him, including paying for him to come to see her while at Bible school. She hid this relationship from her parents for an entire year. She ended up getting expelled from Bible school, and her relationship with this young man was exposed to her parents. Upon returning home, she discovered she was pregnant and then proceeded to hide the pregnancy from her parents for 7 months. She said, I had become a real con artist. She ended up going to a group home and had a baby. But rather than come home and submit herself to her parents' care and authority, she declared her independence from them, hoping this guy would want to make a home for her and her child. She bummed a place to stay here and there, and she lived like an animal. Her thinking became so depraved, she turned down a full-time job opportunity in order to keep an eye out on her boyfriend's whereabouts during the day. Looking back, she said, and guys, give me your good ear on this. Sin will make a fool of you. Sin will make a fool of you. It will take you farther than you want to go. You've heard this statement before, but it bears repeating. It'll cost you more than you want it to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you intended to stay. But the turning point came one day when the congregation at her dad's church stormed heaven for her at their weekly prayer meeting. Her dad said it was as if he was listening to women give birth. People were crying out to God with such an intensity and an authority. He knew in his heart God was going to soon break the stronghold of the enemy off her life. And that same night, she had a supernatural visitation, first with the enemy and then with the Lord. And the next day, for the first time, she cried out to God in repentance and cried out for freedom and deliverance. 2 days later, she returned home. She repented and reconciled with her parents. And 4 months later, she went to the Bible school Pastor Ben was overseeing and was raised up as their praise and worship leader. She went on to marry the one true godly male friend she dropped along the way. He became a pastor at her father's church, and today she serves alongside him at a sister church in Chicago. Her daughter is now a young adult living for God and was recently married, actually, to a godly young man and now has given her a grandson. And so God, who is so rich in mercy, he redeemed her and he restored her and all of the ashes of her life. And he truly brought incredible beauty. And in publicizing her story, she said this, "I want to see young girls avoid the traps of the enemy she fell into at the onset, and see girls who might currently be ensnared in destructive relationships have their spiritual eyes opened, hearts convicted, and set free from the diabolical schemes of the devil, and enter into the true purpose and plans that God has for their lives." And so as the musicians play, if you're in this place and you feel like you've gotten derailed, maybe in the friendship, maybe in a romantic relationship, maybe with a career choice, something that you've been pursuing that you thought was God, or you blatantly even knew it wasn't God, but you just wanted it so bad, like Chrissy Cimbala Toledo so wanted this relationship with this boy so bad, even though she knew it was not God. If that's you tonight, the same God that heard the cry of Jehoshaphat when he found himself in trouble, that found Chrissy Cimbala when she was in trouble, that found me when I was in trouble, is here for you tonight. He's here for you. He's not the God of a second chance. He's the God of another chance. His mercies towards us are new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Amen. I remember about 2 years when I was saved, I was so caught up in this old relationship. It came back into my life. I was trying to live for God with everything that was within me. I was so on fire for God, just a little baby in Christ. And the enemy sent this guy from my past, the one guy that I always felt like I could not live without. He came back and it was like a ferocious battle to stay sexually pure. God was cleaning me up sexually finally, and I find myself struggling all over again. And there was this one night when I was so embarrassed by my behavior. It was a Monday night, and the next day was Tuesday. It was church. And I remember I came and I sat at the back. I was embarrassed. I was in shame. And I remember the Lord said to me, in such love, guys, such tenderness, such mercy, come and talk to me. Come and talk to me at the altar. No, we don't need the altar. We can talk to God anywhere. But he wanted me to just take that extra step. Come and talk to me, he said. It's like a sweet whisper. And I came to the altar completely broken, completely embarrassed, completely full of shame. Like, how did this happen to me yet again? I was walking in measures of freedom. How did I go backwards, like 10 steps backwards? And the Lord said to me, you are here because you desire this man. It's not my will, but it's what you desire. And the only thing that I knew to say to God then, because you know what, guys, I wanted Jesus with everything in me. I so thought the answer to my life was just to find a man to love me and that's it. But no, I found a greater man. I found the Son of Man who loved me so much infinitely more than any earthly man ever could. I wanted him so much more, but I was stuck. I was bound. My emotions, soul ties to this man, 5 years deep in this thing. And all I could say to God was, God, then you've got to take the desire away because I don't know how to leave. I've tried. He's tried. We find our ways back. And I'm telling you, as God lives, I was standing somewhere right around here. I got a touch from God that right there on the spot, it doesn't take God all night. It doesn't take him weeks, years, months. He's just waiting for us to fully surrender. I got a touch from God standing somewhere right around here, and it was finished. Are you listening to me? 5-year battle. Stronghold. Not just a battle. This thing was a stronghold for me. It was over in a moment of time. One touch from Jesus, and it was broken. Are you listening to me? And 15 years later, I'm completely sexually pure. All to the glory of God. Don't tell me what God can't do. He's an almighty God. He's an awesome God. He's full of power, full of mercy. His mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. So if that's you tonight, if you're getting derailed, you come to this altar. Come. The altar is open. Don't wait for me to stop talking. Just come. Just come. No embarrassment. No shame. He's your father. He's your deliverer. He's your helper. He said, call out to me in the day of trouble. Call out to me. To me, and I will help you. I will come to your rescue. As a matter of fact, he's running to me. He's running. He was running to us. You come to your father. You come. And if you've got questions, sometimes we're stuck and we're just generally confused. We just don't know what to do. He'll break all the cobwebs. He'll start to give clarity, heaven's clarity. But you don't make any moves until you hear from your father. He'll give you the grace to wait on him and supernatural peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. He's more than able to do it. If you want greater discernment, young people, that's my cry tonight. I don't care. I don't rest on 19 years with Jesus. It's been amazing. It's been beyond anything I could ever imagine what God has done for me, the things he's done through me, the places he's taken me. I can't rest on that. It's a dark world, getting darker. I need more of God. I need better eyesight. I need a second touch like blind Bartimaeus. He was able to see, but Jesus said to him, no, see again. Here, let me touch you one more time. See clearly now. I want to see clearer. If you want clearer discernment, if you want more discernment, come and pray. Come and pray. Ask the Lord. Ask him for what you need. He's got the goods. He's got everything that you need. He's got the wisdom that you need for today. He's got the grace to make the wise choices. It's all found in Jesus. And if you're unsaved in this place, hear me tonight. There's no worse deception than buying the lie that there is no God. No greater deception. No greater deception. And in a world of all this new age movement and all of this false spirituality, I'm not trying to make fun, but this is where we are. Anything but Jesus. People are willing to believe or try anything but the one true God. But I'm here to tell you on the authority of the scriptures, the testimony of my own life, there is one God, one true God, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior. He is the only wise God, only him. He's the only one that sits on the throne. It's only Jesus. And you can know him tonight. He is a father. Like we sang about, he's been a deliverer, he's been a helper, he's been a provider, he's been my best friend, he's been the lover of my soul, he's been every single thing that I searched high and low for. It's all been in Jesus. And he wants to make himself real to you tonight. He is not a myth, he's not a figment of any man's imagination. He is the truth of this entire universe. The truth of this entire universe is in Jesus Christ. And you can know him for yourself. Just like those of us behind, those standing here, most of us here. If you do not know God, and you can come with doubts, and you can come with questions, you can come however you are. He's not intimidated. He's the God of all truth. He said, come, let's reason together. So if you need to know this Jesus, please, guys, the hour is late. And young people are losing their lives over the most senseless, foolish things like I've never seen before. We don't have a million tomorrows. We don't take those things for granted. Come to the Savior tonight. If you do not know Jesus in this place, he loves you. And he wants to make himself known. There's such safety in Jesus Christ, guys. so contrary to everything that this world tries to purport about him. I have stood in God's presence and he has shown me the fullness of my sin, the blackness of my own heart. And yet at the same time, I was completely loved by him. You can't even fully even explain it. That's how awesome he is. Hates sin, but loves me, loves you. It's safe tonight to come to him. You don't have to hide. There's no condemnation. He bore it all. Don't let guilt, don't let any lying voice keep you from your moment of deliverance. You come freely to your Father. His arms are wide stretched open. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him. Whosoever will, he stood arms stretched wide for this entire world. And that's still the invitation 2,000 years later. Come to me. Come to me. All who need freedom, all who need clarity, all who want truth, come to me. And let him drink. And you won't thirst anymore. He will satisfy the longing of every heart. Come to him. Come to him. Come to Jesus. Come to your Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk to him. Talk to your Father. Talk to him. Tell him. He already knows, but he wants to hear your own voice. Talk to him about where you've been. Tell him. No hiding. You don't have to. No fronting. No mask. He sees you and loves you just right where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you are here. Oh, Jesus. You're here, Lord. Lord, your name is Emmanuel. And you are God that is with us, Lord. Lord, your promise was never to leave us, God, never to forsake us. And God, like Pastor Patrick has often said, when we need you the most, that's when you're the closest. And Lord, your young people are here. And Lord, they need you. Lord, they need your freedom. And they need to be delivered. And Lord, some need to be healed. And Lord, some need to be restored, oh God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are all things to all people. Lord, you are everything that we need, Lord. Everything is found in you. And so I'm asking, God, in Jesus' name, in the name that is above all names, the name that is above lies and deception, the name that is above guilt and condemnation, I'm asking in that name. I'm asking in that name, Lord. And Lord, we won't be denied, oh God. We're asking in accordance to your will, Lord. We're asking for freedom because you said you came to set captives free. Lord, you said deliverance is the food for your children, Father. And so I'm asking you, Lord, to deliver your young people. Lord, every trap of Satan, every snare. Lord, I'm asking that you would do for them what you did for me, Father. Lord, there is a will, Lord, to seek you. There's a will to live for you, Father. But Lord, we're weak, oh God. But I thank you, Lord, that your strength is made perfect, oh God. Our strength fails, oh God. But Lord, you never will, oh God. Lord, you came to rescue us, oh God. Lord, from the enemies that are too strong for us, oh God. And Lord, even as David said, oh God, Lord, the trap and the nets that the enemy had him in, Lord, you cut them and he went free. And so, Lord, I'm asking tonight, God, for freedom. Lord, I'm asking that the enemies that these young people are facing, they would see no more. I'm asking that you would silence every lying voice, every lying spirit in Jesus' name. God, I'm asking, oh God, that you would change desires, that you would change affections, Lord. Lord, the things that we gravitate to, Lord, that are eating away the life of Christ in us. Lord, I'm asking that you would lay an axe to the root, oh God, and you would cause these things to dry up, Lord. You would curse them like you curse And I'm asking that these young people would bear fruit. I'm asking for life. I'm asking for liberty in the name of Jesus. I'm asking for total freedom. Total freedom. Lord, freedom would reign in this place. It is for freedom. You said you came to set the captives free. Lord, every place where we've been captivated, I'm asking God for heaven's clarity. I'm asking for an I-7 anointing. I'm asking for ears to hear. I'm asking for a heart to obey you. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit. Lord, we cannot live this life apart from the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the helper, the ever-present helper to come inside of us, alongside of us, and to help us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, Lord. This is what we need. And I thank you, God. You said every good and perfect gift that comes from the Father. And if we ask, Lord, we shall receive, God. Any earthly father would give his child what they need, God. You said, how much more won't you give us the Holy Spirit? You left him as our comforter, as our friend, as our guide, as our teacher. And so I'm asking, God, that you would fill these young people with your Holy Spirit. Give them wisdom like they've never known in the days to come, God. Give them the grace to close doors that need to be closed, Lord. And I'm asking, God, that you would walk with them. Lord, I pray that no one would succumb to the lies that they were alone. Lord, I'm asking, God, that each person here would know you as that friend that sits closer than any brother. I'm asking that they would know you as the lover of their souls, Lord. I thank you, God. I thank you, God. Father, rise now with healing, 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 healing. Oh, God, healing, heal, heal to the uttermost, oh, God. Lord, you dry every tear. You dry every tear, God. Let these young people tonight know, Lord, that you are here to bottle every tear. Because you're the God of all comfort and the Father of all mercy. There's mercy always with you, Lord, that you would be reverenced. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. You are amazing. You're an awesome God. And we love you because you loved us first. And I ask and pray, Lord, that the love of Jesus Christ would make each of these young people whole. And it would make them complete by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. And I pray these things in the name that is above every name. The matchless name, the wondrous name, the powerful and the almighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.